The Democrats are absolutely despicable, disgusting creatures, and they proved that further yesterday. We've got tons of clips from the hearing. Nadler, Jim Jordan, AG Barr, it all starts now. All right, welcome to the Kingswood Community Center. Or that's how Joe Biden started his speech earlier this week. The problem is he wasn't at the Kingswood Community Center. Roll one.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Kingswood Community Center. Actually, that's the one down I used to work. That's a joke. You didn't know where you were. Anyway.
So... lots of discussion about this. Most think he literally forgot where he was, which jives with his mental state and cognitive abilities as of late. He claims in the clip, after he has a long, dramatic, and awkward, oh crap, kind of pause, that it was just a joke. But here's the thing. You know, I've thought about this. I've seen both sides of the argument out there on the World Wide Web. But if it were a joke that either he or his staff scripted, how dumb can you be? I mean, that is an awful play. Doesn't seem like it to me, but I don't want to be presumptive here either. Maybe it was a joke. But you know that there are serious concerns about his mental fitness, whether you're a campaign staffer, speechwriter, whether you're Joe yourself. You know, and not just for the conservatives out there watching and the media out there watching, even within the Democrat Party, there's people who are very, very concerned. Do not think we talked yesterday about. Granted, it's a rival, in Bernie Sanders' campaign, a top official there who said it's like eating a bowl of, you know what, having to go with Biden, and that's more on a policy issue. But we've seen tons of people come out and say they don't think that he is mentally stable enough to do the job. So why do that? Is my question. If it were a joke, why do that? Why play into the whole our candidate shouldn't be the candidate narrative? It's not wise. So I tend to think that it wasn't. Regardless, it wasn't good. That much is certain. And you know, the only other option out there is maybe it's Biden making some kind of secret plea or like an eye wink, you know, asking for help. But really, just it seems like Joe being Joe. That was my take from it. All right, heavy clip-heavy show today. This Barr hearing yesterday was epic. It was just a free-for-all there. The Democrats really, again, they always do it, but they showed their true colors. So we're going to get to that, and we're going to get to that and spend some time on it in a second. Real quick on the program, though, here's where you can watch or listen, just so you don't feel locked into one source. You can watch on drewberquist.com, all my social channels, or over at our friend and partner site, lifezet.com, and their social channels. You can also listen for you podcast folks out there on any major podcast platform or on my site, which again is drewberquist.com. Speaking of social media, please give us a follow on Facebook, Twitter, Parler, all the different platforms. You can see them down here. So follow and share away there. And while we've got you and we're talking social, check us out on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe there as well. You can do so right down here in the corner. And if you want and you would like to get notifications when we put out new videos, there's a bell icon that's going to pop up after you subscribe. Just go ahead and click that too, and then you will be notified every time. Okay, so we're going to get to this bar story, the hearing, everything. Maybe two other topics that I want to hit. Let's cruise the headlines. So I'm going to preface this. I know I like to preface things. And I'm going to preface this segment by letting you know full well, I do not like Jerry Nadler. You probably know that by now. But I don't think he stands for anything but hate. He only cares for himself with his words and his actions typically convey. He probably cares about his belt collection too, which has to be epic because it's always on full display there. But, you know, to me, this guy is just an angry kid that never really grew up, never really turned out to be anything. He didn't turn out what he wanted to be. And I think he's just been pissed off since kindergarten. And it shows. It shows in all of his actions, all of his words. And yesterday, he led an absolute Democrat clown show as Attorney General William Barr answered questions at a congressional hearing. And it turned into, I think, and I think there's a lot of people that would agree, I'm sure there's Democrats who thought it went swimmingly because they just live in that alternate universe. But I think it was one of the most embarrassing displays of desperation that you'll ever see. And if I were a Democrat, I would be absolutely mortified by the behavior of my colleagues who were there present and trying to grill and act all tough with the United States Attorney General, William Barr. In fairness, all of these hearings do become political theater. We've seen it throughout the last several years, and an awful display of grandstanding, one-upsmanship. Both sides have done it. Yesterday was just particularly bad for the Democrats. The last several years have been different. Politicians have always grandstanded, but conservative Christian and constitutional values have been under attack like never before under the Trump administration, and we're not allowed anymore in this day and age to fight back. Any dissenting opinions with the Democrats or their multiple schemes to oust the president are met with calls for your head and claims that you're bigoted, racist, awful, xenophobic, fill in the blank, all that stuff. You aren't allowed to argue back. You just aren't. When in fact, it's the Democrats, it's their hatred and intolerance that's destroying America right now, and their unwillingness to have a conversation or be criticized when they're wrong. So we're going to go through some of these clips. Again, there's several, but it'll be good for those of you listening on the podcast too, because there is audio. You'll miss some of the visual, some of the looks that Bill Barr gives to some of the people questioning him, which are good. But there's a lot to get through. So, you know, it started with Nadler giving an opening statement, and then, you know, really the Republicans came out with a bang when Minority Leader Jim Jordan essentially kind of tricked the media, who won't show these protests anymore. You've seen some on Fox, but and this clip is from Fox, but the media has not wanted to show these clips and the violence that is very visibly, clearly occurring in Portland and other cities. But he kind of pulled an awesome move here. Ran his opening statement, which was a video, to refute all this stuff. He ran it in live color. It was like 8 minutes long, give or take. Captured the violent, destructive behavior that's been happening there, and everyone had to sit there and watch it and listen. And again, specifically focused on Portland and what we've seen there the last 2 months. This is just a snippet of it, just a flavor. Rule two.
Who had no regards for human life or the law. This didn't have to happen, but it must have been God's plan for David. We need to come together as a community.
So, 8 minutes of destruction. You could hear the widow of David Dorn, a 77-year-old African-American law enforcement officer who was killed in the George Floyd riots, him in St. Louis defending a pawn shop, former law enforcement officer, member of the black community, but his black life didn't matter. So that was also worked in there. Their family statement about everything. So striking a chord there, but then literally for 8 minutes, tons of footage of explosions and buildings on fire and people using the saw to try and cut through the fence protecting the federal courthouse in Portland, people on top of police cars. Absolute mayhem and absolute animalistic behavior, which is the only way to describe what these Antifa and Black Lives Matters people in Portland and the other cities are. They're animals. They're thugs. And their behavior is reprehensible is not the right word. It's beyond that. So there was a lot more of that, as well as the whole statement by David Dorn's family, which we talked about. But then at the end, this was just remarkable to me. Jerry Nadler, this is his response. Who, by the way, remember, earlier in the week, this is the same guy who said that Antifa violence is a myth. And then he had to sit through and watch 8 minutes of it. We could have had 8 hours of it, but he had to watch 8 minutes of it. Here was his response.
Well, I hope that Mr. Jordan will never complain about the length of my opening statement. Without objection, I'm going to insert the committee's audiovisual policy into the record of this hearing. And note that the minority did not give the committee the 48-hour notice required by that policy. Without objection, all other opening statements will be.
So, all of that, America is being physically destroyed by anarchists. You know, you could see it all right there. No longer a myth. No comment other than, oh, you didn't give me the 48 hours notice to play this video, and I'm upset about that because now I was made to look like a total ass on national television and in front of my colleagues. I thought it was an epic move by Jim Jordan. Jordan was feisty all day. Everyone in that room was feisty all day, but Jordan was feisty all day and battling for common sense and reason and trying to help out Barr, who I think has done an outstanding job. I know people on the left think he's just a pawn for President Trump. But if you look at the track record, you look at what he has done since taking over that role, he has pushed back against Trump, and he has done a hell of a job from a law enforcement, from the role that he is supposed to be playing as an attorney general. We'll talk about it more but later, but you know, these guys people need to remember the federal agents, not troops, federal agents who are there in Portland and some of these other cities, but obviously in more of the limelight in Portland, are defending a federal courthouse. They are defending federal property that belongs to the U.S. government. They are not going out and doing the crazy stuff that people are talking about. They are literally defending that property and making sure that it is not invaded, that people do not breach and burn it to the ground and destroy it. That is their job. So anywho, that to me, you go back and trying to and accuse, the reason he's there is you're accusing him of sending in troops and being fascist and you know, being a dictatorship and opposing other views. No, this stuff was happening. Portland was happening well before the federal agents got there. The police were doing it. They just, it's not their jurisdiction to take care of that courthouse. It's the federal agents' job to do that. It is the U.S. Marshals' job to do that. That's why they are there. This all was happening before they got there. The narrative that Trump is sending this in and that's inciting violence, does it piss them off that there's more people there? Of course, if you're opposed to President Trump and more people come to try and quell the violence and tell you to go home and act like an adult, no one likes that. But this was going on well before they got there. So the whole clown show continued. At one point, you had Democrat Lucy McBath. I don't know if that's exactly how you say her name. I don't care. She was questioning Barr and cut him off right as he had tried to answer an issue near and dear to his heart. Since two of his kids are cancer survivors, here's how she treated him during that conversation, roll four.
I quote you directly, the entire ACA must fall.
I have two children who are cancer survivors, so I feel very strongly about this issue as a matter of policy. And I believe that the president's made clear that he will ensure that
sir,
there
please
will...
Please answer my question. Will you stop playing politics with Americans' health care in the middle of a pandemic?
I'm not playing politics. I'm the lawyer. I'm not in charge of health care policy.
Will you reverse your course and make sure that millions of Americans like me...
All day, answer this question. And then, you know, they would ask some accusatory question, some political inspired question. And as he would try to give a response, they would cut him off. Yes or no. You know, it was as if he was on trial when this is the Attorney General for the United States, keep in mind. But the amount of rudeness, I mean, how is that for compassion? I'm trying to answer your question and give you a little bit of a backdrop that my kids are cancer survivors, and rudely interrupts. You'll see it in other clips that we're going to show here. Multiple people, I'm reclaiming my time, basically saying, shut the F up. I'm reclaiming my time. The amount of times that was said yesterday by an angry cat woman or an angry guy like Nadler, it's absurd the way that they treat other people when other people are watching. Everyone's watching. It's on live national television on all the major networks. I'm sure CNN and MSNBC cut away during Jim Jordan's video because they don't want the truth out there, but the rest of this stuff was all there. And they still behave this way. I blows my mind. The what it does to your blood pressure is probably not good. But carrying on, so at one point it got so incredibly silly that Representative Madeline Dead, some great names over there on their side from Pennsylvania, asked Barr an absurd line of questions, and he ended up busting out laughing because she was being so rude and absurd about it. Rule five.
An ideal chemical dispensing system. So while you, in a quote, said it's not chemical, you today confirm it is chemical, and you're aware of your department's policy, are you not?
What policy?
The one I've just provided to you.
What does it say? What's the policy?
Well, I showed it to you. Finally, whether or not you authorized it at the time, perhaps you weren't listening.
I didn't see the policy. What was the policy
clearly
in
you
there?
You weren't listening. Fine. Whether or not you authorized the use of pepper balls. What? I did not ask you a question yet, sir.
I ask you
to please refrain from interrupting me. We watch.
You know what word I'm thinking about there. I don't need to say it. It's what she is. You know, she put up a policy. He's politely looking at her as she is verbally asking him a question. Not very politely, but verbally asking him a question. The two screens for reference, you know, there's a big panel in the middle. A.G. Barr is looking at Jim Jordan, Nadler, as sore of a sight as that is. He's looking at these people who are in the middle, and then there's two television screens to either side. So unless it's called out, hey, watch this over on one of the side screens, you're not going to see it. And at that distance, as small as that policy is, you're not necessarily also going to be able to make it all out. So he's saying a fair thing. Like, you didn't say that look at and read this policy and then tell me what your thoughts are as it pertains to using chemicals. It was a question. The screen was up and then it was down. And then she was just rude and abrasive afterwards. And then as he's trying to explain himself, again, she's saying, don't talk. Again, shut the F up because I am talking. I'm trying to ask you a question. If people can't see how rude that is, look, he can get to the point where he gets his answer. And if you don't like his answer, that is your prerogative. That is your choice. But the amount of interrupting, cutting off, and then cutting off with rudeness and I am all powerful here. You're not. You're just a congresswoman. You're just a congressman. You are an official elected to do the job of the people. You're not a celebrity or superstar. But these people act like, oh, I hold the conch. I'm in charge. And that was the whole damn day, the whole damn day. But this was great too. Let's keep it going. The ridiculousness continues. Mary Gay Scanlon was asking Barr about some political investigations, donations, excuse me. And she was so proud of herself about finding these donations that Barr had made, as if she had like found the second gunman on the grassy knoll. Roll six.
Well, I'd like the opportunity to respond.
You would agree
that
prosecutors who make political contributions are identifying fairly strongly with a political party, wouldn't you?
Who makes contributions?
You said in 2017 that prosecutors who make political contributions are identifying fairly strongly with a political party,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And in fact, you and your wife have donated over $730,000 to Republican and conservative candidates, including donations of $58,000 to Republican senators and Senate candidates in the 4 months preceding your confirmation.
Are you surprised I'm a Republican?
Is that correct that you made those donations?
Over a long period of time.
Including just before.
Okay. That's a cumulative of a long period of time, but basically,
I've never hid the fact I'm a Republican.
I was talking about career prosecutors generally historically avoided making contributions, was my view.
$730,000 is not.
Time of the gentlelady is expired.
I love it. Are you surprised that I'm a Republican? Hey, the amount of gotcha questions. That, which again is always the case with these, you know, whether it's a judicial hearing, an intel hearing, whatever they is, if it's a hearing, there's going to be grandstanding, there's going to be this, and all of these people are going to try and play lawyer and act as if they are in, you know, some John Grisham movie. But the gotcha questions and then the not allowing a response to make the person they are questioning look bad to their constituents, to the American public. Is just ridiculous, and I hope that everyone sees through this and sees it for what it is, because those are just some examples, you know, the 3, 4, 5 examples that we've shared so far. You can go online and see lots of other ones. He took this stuff all day, and I thought handled it with a ton of class, but as classy as he was, you know, he needs a break, right? Everyone needs a break. There's always breaks. There's always lunch recesses. There's all that kind of stuff because there just is. So, you know, as he says in this next clip, he had waited for nearly an hour in the morning for Nadler to show up, who again cares about no one but himself. So Barr asked for a brief lunch break. Here was the exchange and then Nadler's response.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, could we take a five-minute break?
Dean is recognized.
Could we take a five-minute break, Mr. Chairman?
No.
That's a common courtesy, Mr.
Dean
Chairman,
is recognized.
Of every witness.
I waited 45 hour for you this morning. I haven't had lunch. I'd like to take a five-minute break.
Mr. Attorney General, we are almost finished. We're going to be finished in a few minutes. Otherwise, we can certainly take a break. But
you're class. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
After this, if you still want one, we'll have a break.
No, he wants a break now.
You want it now?
And you just mentioned rudeness. I think we're seeing it on display. Let's let the Attorney General have a break.
Committee will stand in recess now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
What a douchebag! I love that he calls him out. You're a real class act. Like, I love that. And you could see, by the way, in that picture, you could see how the TVs were to the side and kind of what Barr was seeing. So when the other lady had, you know, raked him over the coals for not reading the policy that she put up and didn't tell him she'd put up. Anyways, the poise that this man had all day in the face of these hateful and misguided, extremely rude Democrats was amazing. He pushed back and threw some quips back at them here and there, like they're calling Nadler a class act, which obviously he is not. But I don't know that I would have held up. I mean, I just watching the clips didn't hold up that well. The amount of things that I would like to say on today's show about these people and what they did and their behavior is not appropriate. And, you know, we have enough issues being conservative, being out there on social media. As it is. So I'm not going to say those things and give people the opportunity to be more mad at us and hate us even more. But I thought he did a remarkable job. And again, this is what we're dealing with, people. These guys want to tell you, the Democrats, that Trump is responsible for everything and we are setting up a secret police. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. They want to tell you that these protests are peaceful or mostly peaceful. They're not. As we talked about the other day, you can have a group of people who are out in Portland or Seattle or Chicago or Kansas City or any of these places who are there with signs just being peaceful, saying, we think this or we think that. That is okay. That is peaceful. But the whole thing is not a peaceful situation when you have people throwing explosives, people shooting people, you know, you've seen it all, lighting fires. That's not peaceful. So if you know, Chuck Colton said it the other day, if you've got 5,000 people there and most of them are peaceful, but 300 are not, and they are violent and aggressive, and that's not how the numbers really work in these, but like, it's not peaceful anymore. It's not a peaceful protest anymore when that happens. So the Democrats can say that till they're blue in the face, but these are not peaceful, and these are not being instigated by President Trump. These have been going on their own accord. The president has tried to allow governors, mayors, local officials to handle them so he doesn't have to come in and do that because they should be doing it. But they're all in Democrat-run cities that have been Democrat for decades upon decades, if not centuries. And he is trying to stay out for the very reason that the opposite reason of what you guys are saying. You're saying that he's trying to come in there and take over and be a dictator and, you know, instigate all this stuff. No, if that was the case, he would have been there a long time ago. They want to say that Trump's sending federal agents caused the unrest, but it was ongoing long before agents were sent in. I mean, Portland's been going on for months. The agents haven't been there that long, folks. This just happened. And they're protecting, again, as I said earlier, federal property, which is what they are chartered to do. They're not hunting down people, though I wish they were. They stand there. They take projectiles being thrown at them, including explosives, fireworks, mortars. Have you ever had a commercial-grade, you know, mortar thrown at you? I'm sure you don't want it to. And if you have, then you know it's not good. you know, violent verbal assaults against them and their family. And most humans in the same situation would lash out in anger and violence in response to the stuff that they are seeing and enduring there. But I tell you what, they're not doing that. When someone crosses the line, they see who threw fire at them. They see who threw fireworks at them. Yes, they detain them. And if they push back, guess what? They get shoved to the ground, which is what happens in any other law enforcement type situation across the country. If you've done something wrong and then you're resisting arrest. But for the most part, they are standing there and taking this, which is mind-blowing to me. Much like A.G. Barr sat in that room and took just absolute ludicrous statements all day yesterday. But we finally heard, there was an article that came out. We got some feedback from one of these DHS agents on the ground in Portland who is taking part in Operation Diligent Valor. And he spoke anonymously about his experience and everything that's going on there with the Center for Immigration Studies. And here's the text, and I'm going to read it. It's kind of long, but it gives you a sense. And if you're smart and have been watching the footage that's coming out of the violence there, you can see how this makes sense. And you've seen clips on social media that jive with this. But here's kind of some of the remarks and feedback from what he's saying. As the night goes on, the rioters become so hateful, it is surreal. Their voices hoarse, their sentences jumbled. They seem almost catatonic with hate. The unrest seems to draw the mentally ill and drug abusers. Some seem to be both. The officers stand calmly listening to it, taking it, only making a move if the rioters try to destroy the property or enter the area they've been told repeatedly not to enter. They, the agents, don't even respond to thrown projectiles, merely calmly dodging them. Some of the things screamed at us ad nauseum. Go home, you're Nazis, racists, the Gestapo, F you, F your mom, you suck. Quit your job and go F yourself. I'm going to get all your effing names. Just some examples. I see African-American Federal Protective Service inspectors. 20 years law enforcement officer being called the N-word to their face for the first time in their careers by a scrawny, pasty, white, booger-eating communist shithead. That's a pretty good description for Antiva. That's long, but that lines up with most of them. We get more surreal things yelled at us. One guy kept repeating, "You shot my effing dog," over and over, but we've seen zero dogs anywhere at any point. One guy wanders down the skirmish line when things are more in control and says, "Why are you shooting at them? You don't need to. Their shields are made of cardboard," and side point, as we saw the other day, pool noodles. I don't know what that's going to do. "There's no threat," he continued. "No one is armed." And he repeats that night after night with a backpack full of wildflowers, which he places everywhere. Much of it's contradictory. One rioter begged to be shot, begged but then screamed that we were guilty of shooting people. He told us to lay down our weapons and join them, and he said he would kick all... Then he said he changed his tune and said he would kick all of our asses. So, you know, some graphic stuff in there and some foul language, obviously, but that is the kind of stuff that they're dealing with. And still, for the most part, I know there have been some skirmishes, but for the most part, they stand there, they take that. They take that violent verbal assault. They take the physical assault with stuff being thrown at them. And again, they weren't there to start this whole thing. They came there because the violent, not peaceful protests that were going on in Portland, which had been going on for several weeks, were getting to the point where they were going to breach the federal courthouse. And the city down there is just a lawless. I mean, it's Mad Max down there. So they came in, have done their job. There's now reports that they're going to start to slowly stagger and withdraw some of the federal agents. Saw it come through today. Kate Brown, the governor of Oregon, who's awful at her job, was working with DHS to figure that out. They are going to have state police come in there, which is hilarious. It can't be federal because federal is associated with Trump. But if it's state troopers or some other police organization from within Oregon, then it's A-okay. All right, we've got to run. One more show this week tomorrow. Excited to do it. It's going to be good. We've got a lot to cover again. I know we spent a lot of time on Barr today. We will get to other stuff tomorrow. Real quick, while we've got you, if you haven't done so already, please be sure to click the subscribe button below on here on YouTube. If that's where you're watching, give us a like as well on Facebook. And as always, share with your friends and family. And remember, folks, we're talking about some crazy stuff here. It's crazy days in America. We all have opinions. We all have ideas. And it's important that we discuss them and do so fairly. But this is my show, and we hope you enjoyed it. See you tomorrow.